I am here in the studio with State Senator John Keenan. He's from the Norfolk Plymouth District. And if you're not sure if that's your district, it's Quincy, Abington, part of Braintree, Holbrook, Rockland, and now the town of Hanover. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Christine. Great to be here.
Oh, I feel pretty good being able to line up all your towns here. You've been in office for a while now.
Yes, I'm finishing my sixth term in the State Senate, and I will tell you, time goes by so quickly. Just when you think you've gotten some things done, you realize there's so much more to do, and that's what kind of drives me in the work.
Now, I noticed over the years when we followed some of the things that you have done, one of your important issues was tobacco reform. Why was this such a big, important issue for you?
I was hearing from parents from across the district about their children all of a sudden vaping. Mm-hmm. And then, more interestingly, we were hearing it from students. And particularly students in the town of Holbrook, they just felt like they were under attack by the tobacco industry, and they were seeing their peers become addicted to these highly addictive nicotine products. And so the students approached me and asked if I would be interested in filing legislation. We filed that legislation. Students from Holbrook and other communities were involved every step of the way. We passed it. We're the first state in the country to pass that legislation. Other states and communities are following, and the federal government now is focused on vaping and tobacco control. Because mm-hmm. in addition to the vaping part of it, we address the menthol issue, which has been longstanding.
Now, when you say with the nicotine, with the vapes, I think, and I might have this wrong, but I remember reading one time about the percentage of nicotine, say, in a regular pack of cigarettes, versus one of those little vape things. They all look like flash drives to me. Isn't it something like 20 to 1?
Yes. Yeah, so vaping is, the nicotine levels are much higher. It gets absorbed in the system much more quickly, and that's why it's so addictive. And it's also very convenient. You don't have mm-hmm. to take out a cigarette from a package and find a lighter or a match and light it. You can take it out of your pocket, inhale it, put it right back in your pocket. And so people vape more than they would smoke. And when you do that 20 to 1 ratio, you realize it is incredibly addictive.
Now, with this tobacco reform, what were you able to accomplish, and have you seen any of the numbers go down?
Yeah, so we were able to ban all flavored tobacco products in Massachusetts, whether it's vaping products or combustible cigarettes, particularly menthol. Early on, we saw our numbers drop in terms of sales tax receipts. That's how we were able to track it. And as anticipated, New Hampshire's went up. So early on, there was a sense that people were going to New Hampshire to buy product. The report that we got just within the last couple of weeks shows that New Hampshire's rates of sales have dropped as well. And so the rate of use seemed to be dropping. It's hard to quantify because of COVID. It's particularly hard to quantify among young people. We still hear that it's present in our schools. But the sales information is showing us that there has been a decline in the use of vaping products.
Now, what about, I know, substance abuse and prevention, a big issue with everybody who's in office. I know that you've been working very hard to make sure that you can have put the programs in place and the legislation in place to help people that are struggling with that and their families.
Yeah, that was one of the first issues I got involved with in the legislature, and I've been doing it ever since. We were making substantial progress here in Massachusetts compared to other states in terms of overdose deaths and rates of addiction. And we finally were bending the curve. And then COVID hit, and people's access to services dropped. And as a result, our overdose death rates went up. And so it highlighted, I think, the most important thing is that services work. Connecting people to recovery services, to addiction services, they absolutely works. The lack of access during COVID showed us that. And so we are now focusing again on connecting people to services to help them manage their addiction and move them to recovery in the short term, and then move them to long-term recovery as well.
What about mental health treatment? I know that seems to be tied in, especially after going through the pandemic. That was another one of your issues that you championed.
Yes, we just passed a comprehensive mental health law in Massachusetts, and so many people played an important role. It was a very important bill for the Senate president. So everybody contributed to it, and it is a nation-leading one. In simple terms, for instance, one of the things it does is it will treat mental health like physical health. And each year you go in for a physical with your doctor. They check your blood pressure, they do blood work. This law will require that there also be a mental health evaluation and that it be covered by insurance so that we can flag mental health issues early on and get people to the resources that they need.
And you had a recent trip I saw. I was looking at your Facebook page about the Montreal transit lines, and it looks like you picked up some interesting concepts. What was the part about built-in snowplows?
Yeah,
I've never seen that before.
So interesting. So Montreal, for a long time, had explored the idea of building 67 kilometers of new rail. and they just hadn't gotten to it. They hired a company, and in the course of 5 years, they have basically built 67 kilometers of new rail, had new cars built and delivered, have maintenance facilities built and ready to go, and have stations built and ready to go. When we were at the maintenance facility, we were looking at the new trains, and interestingly, in the front of the trains, underneath, they had snow plows built in. Montreal gets a lot of snow, and so the trains plow the tracks as they are being used in the winter months. And you really don't see that here. We have kind of shields on our red line, orange line, blue and green line trains, but we don't actually have plows on them. And I just thought that was an interesting thing.
I wonder if that's something that they would consider here. I mean, remembering what happened a couple of winters ago with Snowmageddon or some of the craziness with people trying to get to work.
Yeah, the new cars that we have, orange and red line, are not here yet. In sufficient numbers, but they are built to protect against the elements, unlike the older cars. But the actual idea of plowing is something that we'll have them take a look at.
That was pretty cool. Now, what do you think, if you had to do your elevator speech, what do you think your three biggest accomplishments in your past terms in office would be?
I think first and foremost, it has been delivering constituent services. I have been very fortunate to have two outstanding constituent services directors over the last 12 years, and they have just done incredible work. People call our office, they get a response, and the response, it may not always be, hey, we solved this problem, but at least it was an attempt. But Doreen Bargoot, who's now my constituent service director, she's really outstanding. We get calls from people out of our district looking for assistance. So constituent services, responding to people in need, is the number one accomplishment. Number two, it is making sure that we get as much state money into the communities that I represent as possible. And we do that through advocacy to make sure that the local aid funding is there. And while it's distributed by formula, making sure that it's there in sufficient amounts. And we have had record amounts of local aid recently. And then third, I think it's been work on behavioral health, mental health, and substance use. We've worked really hard on that, and I think we've been able to get some things done. But that area, as in the others too, we recognize there's just so much more to be done.
What do you think your biggest goal will be for your next term?
It depends on the committee assignment, but the goals will be constituent services, local aid, and if I'm on the housing committee, I really, really want to bring together all the advocates, as many people as possible, to address the housing situation. We'll have a new administration, and I'd like to work with that administration to come up with creative ways to address the housing shortage that we have. I've got three sons. It's very difficult. It's going to be very difficult for them to buy a home in the neighborhood where they grew up, in the city where they grew up, in the region where they grew up. It's going to be very, very difficult. So we have to address that to keep young people here, to keep that talent here, and to provide housing also for seniors and for veterans and people all across the spectrum.
Tell me something interesting about yourself that's out of your, something interesting, hobby, place you visited, something interesting that people should know about you. What makes you unique?
I've been very fortunate to travel a fair amount internationally. And the most compelling trip that I took was to a refugee camp. It was to the Moria refugee camp, which on the island of Lesvos off the coast of Turkey. It's a Greek island. And it was described at the time as hell on earth, the worst refugee camp in the world. And I went there, and it was shocking in a lot of ways, but it reaffirmed my belief in the goodness of people in these most tragic and terrible of circumstances, without water, without bathroom facilities, living on the side of a hill with, in mud. As terrible as that was, you saw the goodness in people every single day. And I carry that with me wherever I go, that people are good. And we're in trying political times here, but generally people are good. They really are.
If people want to know more about you and your candidacy, your website or Facebook page?
Website is KeenanForSenate.com, and the Facebook page is John Keenan for Senate.
Well, appreciate you joining us today. Again, that's State Senator John Keenan from the Norfolk and Plymouth District. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll put your interview up online as well. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Christine James, sending it back to Dan McCready right here, 95.9 WATD.